Football fans, the wait is over. Playoff football is back in action this weekend, and now with Bet365, you can get in on it too. Starting Thursday, Bet365 is offering to double your money with a super boost on one or more passing yards in the Denver versus Buffalo game. That's right, all it takes is one single yard. So even if your team doesn't start strong, you can. Only with Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Select markets only. Minimum, maximum, wager, and fixed boost percentage applies. Super boost for single bets only. T&Cs and restrictions apply.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Grow connects you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights and weekends. There are no subscriptions, no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/try now today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/try now. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Welcome to Takeology with your three boys in the lab, so you can do the cooking. Hope you're having a wonderful Wednesday. We finally got all the boys back together. Avery and Matt are here in the building, ready to talk some good fantasy football. Boys, how are we feeling today?
Yeah, feeling like $100. It's a great day. Great day when you go 3-0 last week. Just great feeling the rest of the week, honestly. I mean, I'm on a high, absolute high.
Don't even want to hear it.
It's absolute high right now, considering Matt. I had to beat Matt and Alex to beat 3-0. It's kind of a nice feel.
It's hard to beat the top dogs, but I guess he pulled through somehow. It's probably because collusion, but we'll talk about that later. Matt, how are you doing?
In my daily life, I'm feeling pretty blessed. In fantasy, I'm dealing with a lot of injuries right now. The injury bug's going around, so hopefully that can get figured out and we get the fantasy season going back on a good pace.
We're tired of it. All these injuries are insane. It's just been a rough time. Football has not seemed that exciting. Lots going on. Not even a lot of good offensive games. It's just been kind of rough. The Saints are the best team out there, it seems, right? And there's a team that leads the AFC North called the Steelers.
Woo!
Air the towel. Let it fly.
I hadn't predicted to start the season. I mean, come on, guys. It was already predicted. It was written in the stars. We're gonna go 17-0. Come on now.
They're gonna win a game in the playoffs this year. I'm calling it. Justin Fields, which is gonna continue to start. They're starting them again. So we'll see how that goes. Well, boys, I'm glad you're here. Thank you guys for tuning out there. We're gonna have a good day of talking about the rest of Week One matchups, the rest of the seven games, and we'll start with a little lab report. Got a few things to talk about. Okay. Tua was placed on IR. For a minute there, we thought it'd just be a week-to-week kind of situation, but he will be out minimum of 4 weeks. Could be longer than that. He at least did say he will not retire, so that was good to see. How do you boys think this is going to affect the receiver room?
You're the Jalen Waddle owner. Let's hear it.
It's going to affect it. There's no doubt about it. I don't think it'll affect Hill as much as Waddle. Waddle's the one that's going to take the biggest hit. They're going to manufacture touches for Hill. He's just that caliber of receiver. He can get the ball in a short little pass, and then he can blow it out for 60 yards. So I think Tyreek Hill, I mean, he's going to take a little bit of a downturn just because those deep passes aren't going to be there. This offense relies a lot on timing, and that timing is going to be all messed up with either Skylar Thompson or they signed Huntley. Which Huntley is a slight upgrade from Skyler, but nothing that's going to make you happy if you're a Dolphins owner. So
yeah,
it's definitely a downtick, especially for Waddle. But if you have Hill, he's the type of receiver that can really win you a week still, no matter the quarterback. So, I mean, it's definitely disappointing. But if you have Hill, at least you know he's that special of a player. Waddle, you're kind of just waiting for Tua to come back at this point.
Huntley was a Pro Bowler. But, we'll see.
Sure. But I think I knew Tua would be out for a while. I thought he would retire, so that's good that he didn't. But I think, like you said, Waddle's value, plummets. But Tyreek's going to get the touches. I don't even know who's the quarterback, right? Skylar Thompson, whatever.
They're going to give him a chance, I think, this next game, depending on how he does. And if not, I think they're going to bring Huntley. And also, I think it's kind of just a way to give Huntley time to learn the offense, whereas Skylar kind of already does know the playbook a little bit. I mean, honestly, I feel like people continue to focus on the receiver room. I think this affects Devon Achane as well. Just in a way of, if this offense can't move the ball, I mean, it's going to take a little bit away from him. He's still going to do what he does and have a burst of speed and run that thing. But he's the only one back there other than Jeff Wilson and Jalen Wright, and they didn't look too good this last game. So we'll see how this affects the whole team. We just hope Tua gets better, right? So especially I have Hill as my first pick, and it kind of sucks. So, but there's brighter days. Fantasy football shouldn't control every day, but it definitely does on Sundays. So, all right, so Tua was placed on IR. Matt, you're going to like this one. I just threw it in there for you. Kareem Hunt has signed with the Chiefs. How do you feel about this? Okay, I wanted to specifically ask you, who do you think is going to lead this backfield? I don't think it's going to be Kareem Hunt, but there was a report that you might see him on Sunday. He's been in this offense before. So, Matt, how do you feel about this?
I might surprise you with my answer. I did not want him to be signed to this team.
Okay.
It muddles the backfield so much that it now kind of creates where none of the three guys can be played. Because with just the two, Steele and Perine, we're expecting Steele to be kind of the first and second down back, and then Perine to come in for the third down or patching situations. And then Steele was going to handle the goal line work. So you're excited because Steele was going to get the first and second downs, and he's an explosive player, so he could have broke one of those out. And then you wanted him to get the goal line work as well. And then Perine was going to kind of play that McKinnon role that McKinnon played when he was with the team. But now that Kareem's there, Kareem knows the playbook, and he handled all the goal line work for Cleveland last year. So it just makes it to where you don't feel comfortable playing any of the three guys until we see who gets what this upcoming week. And it could even affect multiple weeks because Kareem just got there, so they might kind of ease him into it. So I don't know. It's good for the Chiefs standpoint, like as a team, but for fantasy, it really kind of bummed me out that we signed him because he's an old back. But if they're going to give him the goal line work, then that just takes away so much opportunity from Carson and Perine.
Yeah, I don't feel like I have too much say in this offense fantasy-wise. I know I have Isaiah Pacheco, but I didn't get the waiver in time to even pick up one of these guys. But like you said, I think it's in fantasy terms, you almost don't want to touch any of these running backs. Obviously, you want to pick them up because of the team they're on, but you want to wait a week to see who's getting this work, who's getting the goal line, who's getting the passing game. Because Kareem Hunt, like you said, I think just crowds that backfield. And I was actually really excited to see Carson Steele, especially after preseason. And he already got work in there with Pacheco in at different times. So kind of sucks in fantasy terms, but the Chiefs are going to do the Chiefs. It is what it is, right? So.
Nah, I think Kareem Hunt is gonna be the guy. I think you give him 2 weeks, he's going to be the guy. Here's the problem you run into. If Kareem Hunt comes in here, this is why you can say Kareem Hunt or Carson Steele. Say one of them two balls out. How long is Pacheco out? He's on IR, but he's probably not going
to
come back.
6 to 8.
6 to 8.
Because this is reality. So startup time, minimum 6, long 8, like you said. Say one of these two guys balls out, not just both of them. I don't think if one of them balls out, Isaiah Pacheco's not going to come back and get all the work. Because I don't think the Chiefs are going to have – there's no point in the Chiefs running – Isaiah Pacheco into the ground during the regular season. If one of these guys does great for 8 weeks, they're going to come in and have another split backfield. So for you wanting Pacheco to come back for your playoff push, I don't think he's going to make that much of a difference if one of these backs takes over the field and then you're going to have a dual backfield, like we said. So that's just another outlook. We'll have to see how it looks in 6 to 8 weeks. But I do think Kareem Hunt, the guy, watch out. He did good in Cleveland last year. He did fine. He just got cut because he's old.
Like you said, the injury to Pacheco really bums me out because it was kind of self-caused. The Chiefs were playing him on like 90% of the snaps, which I get it. We're kind of easing the rookie into action. It might have been a lower snap count for him later in the year because Carson would get more experience. But it was almost like we ran him into the ground, kind of like how it was when we had Jamal Charles. We just ran that guy 30 times a game, and we basically ended his career with injuries. So I was kind of bummed out. I mean, for fantasy perspective, you want to see Pacheco get all the work, but as a Chiefs fan, we just were running him every opportunity we had. And with how physical of a player he is, we kind of just walked ourselves right into that injury, which it kind of sucks.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams winter sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
But I guess it's a waiting game, like you guys were saying. We kind of just have to see who makes themselves known on the football field and who comes out ahead.
Yeah. Shout out Jamal Charles, nominated for the Hall of Fame. Just saw that. So.
He's one a dog.
On top, I think it's 100 candidates right now. It's cut to 50. We'll see if he makes the 50.
He was a unit. He's all we had for a really long time.
Whoa. Alex Smith was in that backfield. Come on now.
Hey, no dog, Alex Smith.
Don't hate on the man.
He
had his moments. It makes you think of Todd Gurley. You know, the dude just got ran at every time, and it kind of shortened his career. But that's honestly what you have to expect when you have a top pick. When they're on the field more often, they're a bigger chance to get hurt. So you expect that. And the way Pacheco runs, that's the one thing. The guy just puts his head down. So it's bound to happen, but you hate to see it. So hopefully it gets better. Speaking of injuries, Jordan Love was seen practicing today, even though he has an MCL sprain. So hopefully that's a good sign for the Green Bay Packers, because Malik Willis is not the answer in terms of the passing game. They did win, but I mean, he's not. He didn't look good passing the ball. On top of that, Josh Downs making his season debut against the Bears, hopefully. So we'll see how that affects the receiver room, which is already awful just because of Anthony Richardson's passing game. We'll talk about that in a minute too. But we'll see how that changes the thing. And real quick before we get started on these week one matchups, these guys don't know this is coming, but I have prepared some questions for these guys just based on what's going around in the league. Okay, some rapid fire. So we'll make this quick. You can give your short, brief answer, okay, on what you think about this, okay? So my first question, and we can go, whoever wants to start first is fine, and then we'll go to the other one. Is it time to panic on Michael Pittman Jr.? I'm a Michael Pittman Jr.
I'll go first.
Real quickly so we can get to these week one matchups. But I wanted to rapid fire some of these questions for you guys.
Yes, absolutely, yes. Anthony Richardson can't throw the ball if it ain't 90 yards down the field. But the only bright side is Michael Pittman's getting 10 targets a game. 10 targets a game don't do you nothing if they're for 3 yards for a reception. I just think it's time to panic. I don't think he's going to have a top 20 year. You try to trade me for him, and I started looking at the stats, and I said, I don't believe in Anthony Richardson. I'm out. So I'm a big anti-Michael Pittman. I'm not anti-Michael Pittman, but I'm anti-Anthony Richardson. So I'm out. I think it is time. If you can trade him, you should trade him because it ain't looking good.
Matt, real quick, what you think?
You're not going to like my answer. I am fully out as well.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, this is not, like Avery said, it's not a condemning of Michael Pittman because he's actually a special player. But when the passes aren't even catchable, there's just not much he can do. So it's kind of like a Drake London situation from last year. His targets were just awful every time he got them. So I would be out on Michael Pittman as well.
Okay. Well, I have to be in because he's on my team. So I appreciate the negative approach, but I understand because he's sitting on my bench and I'm starting Calvin Ridley. So,
yeah, he's getting paid $21 million to catch 3 footballs a game. So.
So I hope that changes later on in the season. We'll see. I doubt it, but it is what it is. So on top of that, with Andy Dalton coming in to starting quarterback with Carolina Panthers, how does this make you feel about Deontay Johnson? With the quarterback change, do you think this upgrades Deontay Johnson? Or do you think this is a moment when you kind of need to also panic on a caliber receiver like him?
I'm I'm in. I got to be in. If he has a boom game this week, I'm all for it. I'm probably not going to start him, but I'm all in. In our half PPR league, I think a boom game is 10 points. I think if he gets 10 points, it is a boom game for Deontay Johnson this week. The problem is Andy Dalton's going to come in and probably throw it to Adam Thielen of all people. But Deontay Johnson could have a good week this week. I mean, they're playing the Raiders. Raiders gave up a ton of passing yards, and then they wanted to act serious in the fourth quarter. So we don't know who's going to come out.
Okay. I wouldn't touch him.
Wow.
This offensive line is still – it's still just as bad as when Bryce was playing. And playing Max Crosby this week, that's just not a – that's not an equation for success there. I think Deontay's a good player, but this team is just bad. There's just no getting around it.
They're buns. Yeah, I actually am in on Deontay Johnson just because I think I'm riding it with you, Avery. We've been wrong before, but I don't think we're wrong this time. I even thought about trading Pittman for him, but can't get a hold of some people, but it's okay. So we'll see. We'll see if we can do that later. Next question. This will be my last one, and then we'll get into the week one matchups, okay? How should we feel about Christian Kirk? Okay? After two games, even without Evan Engram, Christian Kirk has had 7 targets, okay? In 2 games without Evan Engram. Is it time that a guy that was receiver 1 last year, is it time to give up on Christian Kirk?
I shout out number 1 to ESPN. Evan Engram got ruled out with like 30 minutes left in the game, and I'm in church and did not get a notification until after church. That was a really nice one. But Christian Kirk, I'm out. I'm out again. This is just a guy that was – you didn't draft him high, though. You drafted him probably, what, 8th round?
Yeah, he was a little low this year.
You knew he would maybe get you 10, but he hasn't even got 10. He's got 2 or 3 a game.
Yeah,
I would say the panic button set in because Brian Thomas is looking like the wide receiver 1, and I didn't think, oh boy, Gabe Davis was going to get some targets, but he has. He's got targets, and they paid him, and they're using him. So
yeah,
I think it is time to panic. What do you think, Mac?
Yeah, I would be out completely. Brian Thomas has kind of made himself known on this team. He's the number 1 receiver, and then you have Gabe Davis, like you were talking about, on the deep routes. And when Evan Engram comes back, that's even going to eliminate an even bigger target share. So, and last game, they're passing a lot to Strange, is his last name?
Yeah.
Yeah, the backup tight end.
Yeah, he was a huge focus. So, yeah. And you know they're going to run a lot with ETN. And then when Bigsby comes back from injury, he's going to get a couple carries. I know you're not a fan of him, but he's going to get a couple carries. So, I don't know why this has happened, but – I would be out on Kirk as well.
Yeah, just a weird process. Brian Thomas is just – he's proved himself, and he's a good receiver. And the Gabe Davis thing, I didn't see that coming because, Christian Kirk's the receiver 3. And really, if Evan Engram's out there, he's the 4th guy they're looking at, if that. Travis Etienne's a big piece of that passing game too. So, yeah, I'd be out on Christian Kirk too. I wanted to be in on him because I liked the guy as a receiver. But go ahead, Avery.
I was going to say, did y'all see that hit Tank Bigsby took against the Browns? Probably one of the biggest shots I've seen in a couple of years. That, and I don't even think you can trade. I don't think you can trade Christian Kirk. I don't think you can even get anything back for him. In a redraft league, you can't get anything for him. I'm not trading for a 3 points per guy, wide receiver 3. And then Dynasty, the best you could get, maybe a 2nd-round pick, maybe a 3rd-round pick. That's the max you can get for him. You might just have to cut him when it comes down to it if you see someone else you like.
That hurts, but it happens.
It is tough. They played Cleveland last week, so that's a really good defense. So I guess we kind of need to hold our opinions until they play. I mean, even the Dolphins don't have an awful defense. So I am out on him, don't get me wrong, but I'd like to at least see a little bit more just to have a bigger sample size for him. Because the Jaguars have played bad, so they can only play better. So I mean, it might just be a product of how bad their team has played. So we kind of need to see a bigger sample size on him.
Yeah, definitely. Sometimes he's gonna be overreactions. It's only week 2. You got a long season to go, and it can change quick. So I mean, you don't need to freak out too much, but there's a little bit of concern. If you're 0-3 and you got one of these guys, you're like, what the heck do I do? I mean, hopefully waiver wise, you've already picked some people up, but they're just guys that you believed in for a little bit. And I mean, I believed in Michael Pittman and it's not looking too hot, but I just wanted to bring those rapid fire questions to you guys. See what you thought. Okay. A few guys that have not performed like you wanted to, but let's talk about this week one game that, if I recall, was supposed to be a blowout. It was supposed to be a massacre, just a slaughterhouse. But let me tell you the score. It was 26-25, so it was a very close game. Chiefs barely pulled through. Barely pulled through. Thankfully, they did. Matt, I wanted to throw it to you just to see how you feel about your Chiefs team after this this matchup.
So when I said a massacre, I was actually talking about a massacre to their mental health because we just keep beating them. But it obviously didn't go the way I thought. The Bengals honestly look like a completely different team than they did the first week. Their offense looked a lot better. Joe Burrow in specific looked a lot better this game. Now, the Chiefs, we looked good. It was kind of an odd game. Lou Amarino, their defensive coordinator for Cincinnati, he is one of the best defensive coordinators at stopping the Chiefs' offense. Like, he eliminates Travis Kelce completely. He wasn't even a factor in this game. The only guy that you could really say affected the or played well on the Chiefs, I would say, is probably Pacheco, who we lost, and then Rashee Rice. Rashee had a big game, but a lot of that honestly was on the one touchdown pass. So, in all honesty, they shut our offense down, and it's just something about Cincinnati. That's why I never want to see them in the playoffs. And I will say, a team that started 0-2 for 3 years in a row has not made the playoffs in history. So I really hope they do bad this year, just so I don't have to see them in the playoffs. But on the Chiefs side of the ball, I wouldn't worry too much. We always play the Bengals very closely. I did think this one was going to be a slaughtering, but they looked completely improved. They made good adjustments after week one. Now, the running back situation, now we've already talked about it. I wouldn't touch anybody for next week, but this was honestly one of the worst games Patrick has played in maybe since I've been watching him. It was not a good game. So you're definitely going to want to see improvement there against Atlanta, which you should see improvement against Atlanta. You hopefully we'll see Travis Kelce kind of make his presence known. He's been doubled a lot in our first two games, so it'd be nice if someone would try to just single cover him, but if not, it is what it is. On the Cincinnati side, it was good to see their offense kind of came alive. The only person that you're kind of confused on is Jamar. He honestly looks just upset over the contract. You kind of saw him blow up against one of the refs and got himself in unsportsmanlike conduct.
Yeah.
It honestly looks like he's just playing mad and he doesn't want to be there. So hopefully that kind of rights itself and rights the ship so that you feel comfortable with the first round pick you invested in him. But it is very it makes you feel good if you drafted Joe Burrow because he looked good against a good defense. So that makes you feel good, and their schedule should get easier from here on out. So if you have Joe Burrow, I'd feel encouraged. Ja'Marr Chase, I don't know. It's kind of sketchy.
Yeah, it really makes you feel good about having that stack, doesn't it, Matt? Joe Burrow stack.
Ooh, gross.
I'm glad you took Joe Burrow. He did look good, but I'm glad you took him. But I agree. I think Rashee Rice looked great. Isaiah and Pacheco looked good again. But Patrick Mahomes, 15 points in the first game, 12 points in the second game. I do think he'll turn it around, but I don't think you're getting – if you drafted him as the first quarterback off the board, I don't think he'll be the quarterback one this year. I don't know. Is this one of those gut things? I think he'll be a top five when it's all said and done because it's Patrick Mahomes. He's not going to be – he's going to pass for 300 yards a game now because you don't have any good running backs. That's just how it's going to be. But I do think Travis Kelce – you didn't bring up a red alert, but I do think Travis Kelce might be a red alert. Kind of not. If we're 1 out of 10, I put that in 8, solely because the Chiefs, I think, are so adamant on saving him for the playoffs this year. Because you don't need him. I get he's older. He's you know he's elite, but the problem is maybe this last year. I mean, did he age a little bit? That's no one can be Superman forever in the NFL. That's just reality. And when I'm not saying he's not going to put up a 100-yard game, he'll get that eventually. two touchdowns a game, he'll probably get that. But I don't think he's going to be this top five tight end that you drafted him to be. That's just my opinion. Now, I told you I had a buy low candidate. Jamar Chase, buy low candidate. I think if he has one more bad game below 10 fantasy points, people are going to be selling him like a top.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about a guy you drafted top five. Maybe he got to you at 7 or 8 if something happened because of the contracts. But we didn't draft that early. We drafted earlier to where he was top five. So you draft this guy top five, what, 6 points a game, 6 points the first game, 7 points the second game. If he only puts up 8 points next game, people are going to be wanting to get something in return. Now, yeah. I don't know what they're going to want in return. They're going to want something high value. But it's kind of like I was in a panic with Marvin Harrison. If he would have put up 3 dud weeks in a row, I'd been looking to sell him for anything. You're not going to sell Chase for anything, but – I mean, if you're 0-3 to start, there's only so much you can do. You're going to have to sell him hot. And you can take a realistic look at your team. I think Zach Moss, underrated guy, he's going to be fine this year. He gets the goal line work. And he also got 75% of snaps, I think. So he's just fine. And then Mike Gesicki, somehow, some way, just balled out last week. As a T. Higgins owner, not excited about that at all. I have T. Higgins and – Not a fun ride. I was not hoping he would be. I was hoping the Bengals would actually suck, so that way when T. Higgins came in, they would have to use him. But if Mike Gesicki and Andre plays good, and then even John Metchie the third had a great catch. So you're talking about guys that they might be deeper than they've ever been. So why does T. Higgins have to come back? He's trying to play for a contract too. If he's not healthy, he's not going to come in. So as a T. Higgins fan, I'm worried. Or T. Higgins' owner, I'm worried. I don't know about a fan. But and then, like you said, Joe Burrow played fine. He'll be good this year. They'll make the playoffs. They'll be the wild card team because we're not going to the AFC North. But they will make the playoffs. I'm sure they will. Because I think the AFC's a little down this year.
You heard it here first. Bengals in the playoffs. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I won't say much because you guys covered it real well. But Zach Moss is a player that – he's getting the majority of the work, and it was thought to be a backfield that was split. So he's a guy that I'd be looking for that's kind of a sleeper, because if this team really does start to pick up offensively, and they looked pretty good against a good Chiefs defense. So be watching out for this offense. Mike Gesicki, in terms of waiver wire picks, I know waivers already went out, but Mike Gesicki's a guy to look out for, because if he's the number one tight end on a good offense – tight ends are really a dime a dozen this year at the moment. So if you can get a guy that can get 9 targets at tight end and catch some of it, you want him on your team. But, I was just happy to talk about that game as Matt referred to the massacre. I wanted to see how he felt about it today. I know it looked a little different than you expected, but I understand.
Yeah. I will say with Gesicki, we were doubling a lot of their receivers a lot of the game, so – he was single covered most of the game. So we kind of left him with just our linebacker. So I think that's why he tore us up. So at least kind of I would wait to see one more game with him to see if he puts that production up again. But like Avery was saying, Andre looked good. He had 2 touchdowns in this game. And then even Burton, their rookie, he's probably not on any guys' redraft teams, but on Dynasty's perspective, this guy, he looks like he's really talented. So when they lose Higgins next year, I think he might be a focal point of this offense on the deep routes anyways.
Definitely a thing to keep an eye on. Dynasty, like you said, more often. Another game I want to talk about, it's good to be right. Okay? I enjoy that this guy is still balling after 2 weeks. It feels good to have a take that is just – it's taken off. Okay? Buccaneers versus Lions. Right? Buccaneers pulled through 2016. Chris Godwin is on fire. Okay? 7 for 8, 117 yards and a touchdown. Now, Mike Evans had an off game. It's not going to be often. He's still getting the targets. But if they don't double cover that guy, I know Baker's throwing it to him. I wanted to real touch on real quick. Rashad White's looking a little, not like he's panning out like you want him to, especially with Bucky Irvin getting 7 carries to his 10. So this is a team that's a little weird on a little bit of sides, but Baker Mayfield has been balling out. The man looks good. Now, one person I think you guys will probably touch on here in a second as we talk about this game, Sam Laporta. is looking kind of scary in terms of how high you draft this guy, because Jameson Williams kind of looks like the second target on this team. When you've got Amon-Ra St. Brown and then Jameson Williams, and honestly, Jahmyr Gibbs is getting a lot of passing work. He was on the field a little bit more this week than David Montgomery in terms of drives. They still got both a lot of carries and both produced. I mean, Montgomery had more fantasy points than Jahmyr Gibbs did. But I did not expect Sam Laporta to look this different than last year. I understand he had a lot of touchdowns, but he's not even getting targets. So how do you guys feel about this game on either side? I mean, what do you think you see and what you're excited about?
Yeah, with the Lions side of it, this was a game that kind of showed you the Buccaneers have a better defense than people think. Their front line is genuinely good. It is hard to run on this team, and that's kind of why you saw the Lions struggle, because a lot of their success comes from running it down your throat and then passing to Amon-Ra or Jameson Williams. And with the emergence of Jameson Williams, you have seen Laporta's targets go I mean, they've plummeted. He had three this game. Khalif Raymond was the number two receiver on this team last year, and he only had like 56 targets. With Jameson Williams, if he's commanding this target share, Sam Laporta is going to be like a red zone target and a third down target, and that's about it. Which, I mean, that's tough because he got drafted high. On the running back side of it, it was nice to see. I mean, Gibbs got seven targets in this game, which that's always – you're always ecstatic about that if you're – if it's a running back getting that many targets. Now, the rushing attack, I wouldn't – I mean, they got a 50-50 split in this game. Jahmyr Gibbs was more efficient. But like I said, this is a good D-line, so I wouldn't read into the rushing attack on this game. It'll get better. The Lions have such a good offensive line. There's no need to worry about that. But on the Buccaneers side, running back committee, it was kind of scary. Rashad White kind of had a groin injury in the middle of the game. He did come back. But if he's going to deal with a groin injury that lingers, Bucky Irving could really get a lot of these running back snaps. And that is not what you want to see, because Rashad White, he was drafted pretty high. And a lot of that is just based off volume, because he's not a good rusher. He's not an efficient rusher, but he gets a ton of volume in the passing game. And if Bucky Irving's going to be on the field and take snaps away, I'd be pretty scared of having Rashad White on my team.
Yeah, he was drafted third or fourth round in a lot of leagues, and he's not really looking good. So Bucky Irving, another waiver wire pick, a guy you can stash. I feel like the receiver room out there is so deep that if you can get a running back that can take off, you want to pick him up. So be looking for Bucky Irving. He's getting some work, and he looks really good in this offense. And this offense is also electric. And like you said, I agree, the defense does look a lot better. Avery, how do you feel about this game?
Man, like you said, Bucky Irving, I don't know if I'd pick him up and redraft yet, because I still don't think he gets enough work to be a running back two or a flex yet. I think the first week he got 10, but that was because they were blowing him out. Last week, like you said, he got 7, but turned it into like 40 yards, which is really good. So he's efficient, but the difference is, like you said, White was picked. I think I'll just look top of the fourth round, super high for a running back that you drafted for a guy that's really not produced. Didn't really produce last week. Like you said, it could just be because the Lions are a good defensive front. They got better last year, and they're better this year because of it. I would be scared of Rashard White. I would probably trade him away. As a buy, cut, or trade, I'd trade him away if I could at the moment. See if you could get – I don't know what's equally available, but someone along the lines of maybe Josh Jacobs or someone along that Aaron Jones, someone equal-ish value, maybe not similar. But you're taking that risk because, like Matt said, White was only good because of how much volume he got. It wasn't because he was a good running back. That's all he's ever been good at is volume. And if you take that volume away, it's awful. Mike Evans, I'm not worried about. He's going to have a down week this week as well, playing the Broncos. He's going to get Sertan matched up against them, which if I'm them, I don't know if I don't put him on Chris Godwin over here and going off on people. But it's going to be Mike Evans because he's the number one this easily. I have him in another league, so I'm expecting 10 points. He's going to get his. He always gets 10 or 0. He either goes for 0, 10, or a boom game. It's nothing in between. That's about it. You start Chris Godwin, start Mike Evans. You start Baker Mayfield if you have him. Dude's balling out. That's another thing. I think that was a great – now, I don't think he's going to keep it up the whole year, but I do think he's going to – I think he'll be fine. They start playing some better – they've played – The Lions pass defense is pretty pathetic, and they also played the Washington's defense pretty pathetic. So you have two defense. I mean, the Giants tore him up. So they'll play better teams, but he'll be all right. He'll be probably top 10 the rest of the year, fantasy-wise. And then on the line side of the ball, I agree. I was almost about to trade for Sam Laporta, and I thought, this guy and Kyle Pitts are putting up the same amount of points. Why am I trading for one and giving up more to get him? Like Matt said, Jameson Williams come in and just commanded targets, which I didn't see coming in the year. Neither did people that drafted Sam Laporta in the second and third round. That's sure not what you wanted. I don't think it's as red alert. They'll probably get him involved since they did so bad last week. But and then, like Matt said, the run game's just fine. You're starting Montgomery and you're starting Gibbs every week. You're not starting Jared Goff, though. He's awful. He's been pathetic. That's part of the problem right there. There's your problem, Jared Goff. The dominator. Awful. He's been awful. If you started him, you've been absolutely – I started him 1 week. And I was mad. I thought, this dude balled out last year. He was a top five fantasy quarterback. He's put up 9 points the last two games. 9-9. How do you do that as a quarterback in the NFL? 9 points. And it's just pathetic. But, yeah, you're not starting – you're just not starting him. That's kind of dry. Have fun if you drafted him, because I cut him in one of my leagues.
We believed in Jared Goff. We even hyped him up. But, you know, I'm not going to back away. I think Jared Goff's still going to turn it around. I mean, it may be the year he's just kind of not in anymore. But Baker Mayfield, my boy, I believe he's going to continue to cook. Let's hope so, honestly. This game will be quick to talk about. I honestly don't even want to talk about it because it hurts my heart. Just a bad game, okay? Packers and Colts, we're not there yet. He's too excited about these Steelers. But Packers and Colts, 16-10.
Well, it's the same premises of the game. That's how you introduced it. So, I mean, it's the same type of game here.
You're right. Just Anthony Richardson, I was high on him. I have him in my team. I'm starting a rookie over this guy. Right now, I'm starting Jane Daniels. And to be 17 for 34, 204 yards, 3 interceptions, this dude is just chunking the ball. They're not accurate. It doesn't look good in passing. I guess on the bright side, to have 3 interceptions and still get 9 fantasy points is not bad, I guess. But it's not good. These receivers are all over the place. The number one guy right now is Alec Pierce, and it's only because he's a deep threat. With Josh Downs coming in, it kind of makes me nervous for this receiving room even more because it gets crowdeder and the ball's not being thrown well. The only person you can 100% trust in this team is Jonathan Taylor, and he didn't even get started in the fourth quarter. I can't stand these guys.
Did you just say the word crowdeder?
Yeah, he did.
Is that crowdeder?
Is that not? It becomes more crowded. Crowdeder.
You know, listen, we're not an English podcast. More crowded. I'm glad I got you guys here, I guess. Dang, I didn't even notice, so I appreciate that.
I was trying not to laugh, and then I saw Avery.
You guys are awful. You guys are the worst. More crowded, I guess. We all have a college degree, at least. So, crowdeder. It's a new word. We'll be using it around here. More crowded. Anyways, the Colts receiver rooms are cheeks, and I've got Pittman, and it's awful. Jonathan Taylor, again, is the only guy. And on the Green Bay Packers side, Josh Jacobs, he's going to get the ball. I believe Marshawn Lloyd just got put on IR. So it's him and Emmanuel Wilson. And Wilson doesn't look the greatest. I don't even think he got 5 carries for 9 yards in this game. So the receiver room is scary until Jordan Love comes back. But what do y'all think about these two teams?
For the Packers, it really is scary until Jordan comes back. I mean, Malik throwing 14 passes. It looks like they honestly have the training wheels on him, and they just don't want him to lose them the game. Yeah. So they're just gonna hand it off. I mean, Jacobs had 32 carries. If that is gonna continue with Malik at quarterback, I would trade for Jacobs. I mean, that is an unbelievable workload. And now it might not last long if he gets hurt. He's an injury prone guy, but that amount of work for a running back that he wasn't drafted like super high. The caliber he was, but geez, that was a great workload to see from him. The receiving room, Alex is right, stay away from them all with Malik there. I mean, they basically were all like 2 targets, 3 targets, 2 targets. When you're only throwing 14 times a game, there's just not enough yardage to go around. You might get lucky and you might have the receiver that gets the touchdown that game, but I would just stay away from him in general. And with the Colts wide receiver room, how Alex was describing it, I would stay away from. I mean, Richardson is just an inaccurate quarterback. He throws a good deep ball, and that's about it. The short yardage, the easy passes that are supposed to be easy completions, he just can't make. And he almost scrambles too much. It's just, I wouldn't touch a receiver in that room. And with Josh Downs coming back, that's only going to take targets away from Alec Pierce. And as you were talking about earlier, I'm out on Pittman just because of how inaccurate Richardson is. Now, Richardson, from a fantasy standpoint, he's going to rush every game. He's going to get like 5 or 6 rushing attempts, and those could turn into touchdowns. He's a similar player to Justin Fields. So he's going to offer fantasy value, but as far as what he offers his receivers, it's not much.
Yep, I agree with that. How many carries did you say Josh Jacobs got last game?
32.
You know how many fantasy points he had? You want to know how many fantasy points he had?
I like that.
13.
Yeah,
13. He did. You're trading for this guy? You're trading for this guy?
The volume. Volume alone, yeah.
He wasn't able to get in the end zone. So, I mean, that's tough. But
he's going to get 30 carries each game and not get in the end zone right now. Now, he did get the ball punched out at the 1 yard line. I'll give him that. I did see that. But come on now, 30 carries, 13 points. If he gets a touchdown, 19, 30 carries. Christian McCaffrey had 30 carries when he was healthy. He'd score 60 points. He's only going to get these 30 carries until Jordan Love comes back. And until Jordan Love comes back, this is a bad offense.
Yeah.
Well, let's flip over. You've already discussed the receivers. I'm not starting any receiver on Green Bay until Jordan Love comes back. But flip the side, Jonathan Taylor, same thing. He probably got 25 carries if I'm a betting man, because Andy Richardson couldn't throw the ball. Just couldn't throw the ball. But you're starting both these guys because you have to. You drafted Josh Jacobs in the back of the fourth, probably mid fourth. You drafted Jonathan Taylor at the 2 turn. So you're starting these guys. Jonathan Taylor's kind of become touchdown dependent because Andy Richardson won't dump off the ball. It's the problem with running quarterbacks. They just don't dump off the ball when they have the opportunity to. So he's not getting any receptions. All the points he's getting off rushing yards. If I'm a Jonathan Taylor owner, I'm a little nervous right now because this offense is awful. So unless Anthony Richardson can start throwing the ball, and they're not going to bench him this year for Joe Flacco. I mean, Joe Flacco's good. If Anthony Richardson loses like the next 3 games, maybe they bench him and they'll come up with some injury or something. We'll see. But they're not going to bench him because this is their future quarterback. This is why they spent a 4th-round pick on him. So they're going to let him develop. They might suck this year, but they're going to let him develop, and we're just going to have to ride it out. I agree. I'm not starting any of the Colts wide receivers because it's too risky unless you need a boom. Like you said, Josh Downs coming back, not doing it. But, yeah, I'm not starting Anthony Richardson. You are starting Anthony Richardson mostly because you took him so high. But you'll get the 30-point games and you'll get the 6-point games, the highs and the lows. So
it's expected.
Also, shout out Malik Willis, though. You got the job done. Got the job done. So, against the Colts, they didn't deserve to win that game, but they won it. Needed to win that game.
Yeah, it was
that was an awful game to watch, man.
Incompletion, a bunch of runs. And three and out. It was a bad game.
Yeah.
This game wasn't any better, honestly. You know what? We'll just jump to it. I can't keep Avery waiting. I can't keep him waiting. Steelers 13-6. Honestly, a worse game to watch. Mm-hmm. Then the Colts and the Packers. I don't even know if you're a Steelers fan and you want to watch this game, to be honest with you. Really not much to talk here. This is a team that will win just because they have a defense and Justin Fields is managing the ball well enough. Okay. Broncos. I don't want to hop off the Bo Nix train yet, but I feel like I have to. It's pretty bad. Okay. He'll be better in the future. He'll be a decent quarterback later on. I mean, just the team is kind of just weird. Cortland Sutton should be getting all these targets. He had 12 last week, and he only had 4 and caught 1 of them this week as a receiver 1. Josh Reynolds got the work, and it was only 5 targets and caught 4 of them for 93 yards. Honestly, you don't even want to start Javonte Williams on the Broncos because they're so bad. And this was a guy you expected him to turn up this year. So Broncos team, you're really not touching any of these guys. I honestly would be sitting Javonte Williams till I see something different. because there's other running backs out there that might even be backups that are producing more points than Javonte Williams is. So that's kind of sad to see. And the Steelers are the Steelers. George Pickens is the number one guy. Darnell Washington, love to see that he had him a little touchdown. Shout out to the Dogs. So that was kind of nice. But Najee Harris, you're going to start him because you got him. Jaylen Warren's still looking a little iffy, but he looked better from an injury after game one. So, Avery, as a Steelers fan, real quick, how you feel about this team?
Number one, Steelers are going to go 17-0, just riding the books. It's going to be a hard road. It's not a road traveled much. We're going to go 17-0, just be prepared. But this was awful. I do want to point out, the Steelers' offense was bad, but I'm going to put a but in there. There were three plays of 50-plus yards, two touchdowns. They got called back by Broderick Jones for holding. They were absolute dimes. Don't know if y'all saw the tweets. Don't know what y'all saw. But three plays of 50-plus yards got called back because of holding. So this team would have scored. You take away the holding calls, put up another four. They put up 27, which is where George Pickens has two touchdowns. There's two deep balls to him. George Pickens is the number one. I'd probably buy him if you could because there's no one else on this team getting the ball. Pat Freiermuth might. If you're a Pat Freiermuth owner, you're absolutely irate that Broderick Jones got that touchdown in the end zone. I mean, just irate. I would be. I mean, shout out to him for balling out. But I knew when they had the corner on him, the dude's like 6'8".
Yeah, Darnell Washington is huge.
What are you going to do about that as a 5'11" corner? You ain't doing much about that. He is, but that's like Alex Houston trying to post me up in the paint down there. I mean, come on now. But
you just got a foul.
Just saying. But Pittsburgh, I think they're going to be fine. You're probably starting Najee Harris because he's going to get 10 a game if you need a floor. That's just what he's going to get most of the time. Touchdown dependent. Jaylen Warren will be back. But you're not starting this anybody on this team besides the big three. But if Justin Fields can turn up, you'll start playing him. On the other side, I'm off the Bo Nix train. I was wrong, and this is what it is. I'm out. I was wrong. And it's sometimes you can admit it. I like Bo Nix as a quarterback and as a person, but good Christian guy, but he just ain't getting it done. Just not. I'm out on the whole Broncos team. Now, they've played – Pittsburgh is a tough defense. I'll give them that. But other than that, I mean, the Seahawks aren't a good defense, and they only put up 20. We'll see how it goes. What do you think, Matt?
I would like to point out I'm very happy to see Justin Fields playing the way he is. He is not losing them games. He is just doing his job, and he's doing what they need from him, and he's winning the games. I really think he's going to keep that role just because of he's not turning the ball over, which is what he's done his whole career. So
he's starting again next week. So, yeah, they're trusting in him.
I'm happy to see him at least playing good for a couple weeks because it's been a kind of sad career for him so far, but – I just wanted to give him props there. I was happy to see that. And with George Pickens, I'm on the George Pickens train. If you can get him, I would. Like Avery said, a couple of his passes got called back, and he had Pat Surtain on him this game, and he burnt him. And Pat Surtain he's one of the best in the league.
Dumb.
And Pickens really is that guy. And if Justin Fields can do one thing, it's throwing the deep ball. He did it to DJ last year. He can do that, and that's what Pickens excels at. So I would be trading for him if you can. Now you're gonna start Najee Harris. He's gonna get the carries. You did see Jaylen Warren kind of get implemented back in this game, but Najee is still getting all the carries, so you can play him comfortably. And then I agree with Avery. I wouldn't touch a single Broncos player. I really don't think they're gonna do anything for you on a weekly basis.
Yeah, you're definitely out on that team. No doubt. Yeah, that was one of the less exciting games, but Steelers lead the AFC North. So it's good for Steelers.
Come on. We're just built different. Just built different. I think we do pick it up. I think we do pick it up on offense here soon. I think Arthur Smith has honestly called good plays. I'm not upset. It's much better than last year. At least we're throwing over the middle of the field and stuff like that. So, Pittsburgh fans, it's better-ish. It's not great, but it's better-ish. That's
at least it's not crowded-er.
He's a good OC. He's not a good head coach, but he's a good OC. He was great with the Titans, and now he's doing pretty good with the Steelers. So I would be happy if I was a Steelers fan as well.
You can't go wrong. Make the playoffs and lose. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. All right, next game. A game that I did not see coming. Cardinals versus the Rams. Talk about a massacre. Now, didn't panic because had what 0.3 or 3 points, if that, in the first week.
5, yeah.
Ends up with 27 fantasy points. So 8 targets, 4 catches, 130 yards, and 2 touchdowns. This is why you can't panic, okay? The dude looks like a number one or a first-round draft pick, and they're playing him like he should. Kyler Murray looked real good. He was throwing that thing. And James Conner, again, is looking solid. If you can get 21 carries, I mean, I know they were blowing him out. They still were passing that thing when they were blowing him out. But 21 carries from James Conner, if he stays healthy, you love where you got him in terms of ADP, and you're going to play that guy. The Rams are another – I don't know how to feel about them. If they're, I mean, I think they already had an injury in the line. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure they already did. They lost Cooper Kupp. They lost Puka Nacua. Their tight end's out, Higbee. Not that it matters. But it's a whole new team right now. Kyron Williams is the only consistent in Matthew Stafford. And it also makes you, to me, it makes you worried about Kyron Williams, because if they can't move this ball, he loses value in terms of getting touchdowns or even the work. I mean, he may become the focal point, but a little scary. So, I mean, how do you guys feel about this game coming after a week where you were like, what's going on?
I'm happy on the Cardinal side of the ball. James Conner looks like he really does look really good. And for where everybody got him, where they were drafting him, he's a phenomenal pickup this year. Now, like we've already pointed out multiple times, he's never played over 15 games. So don't expect him to do this for the full year. But as of now, he is a consistent. I mean, he's playing at an RB1 level, which where you got him in the draft, that's pretty spectacular. And speaking about their rookie, man, he did all of his production in pretty much the first quarter. Like, that is crazy. What do you have? 4 catches for, like, 125?
Yeah, 130, I think.
Yeah.
2 touchdowns.
He had 4 catches for 130 yards, 2 touchdowns. And pretty much all of that production was in the first quarter. That is that really shows you what he's capable of. And he really is a phenomenal player. Kyler Murray is playing unbelievable. If he plays like this all year, he could be in the MVP running if the Cardinals – keep winning games, and he's playing at this level. Now, on the Rams side, it's a scary situation right now, because with this O-line being hurt, you kind of talked about it, Alex, they had 2 injuries on the O-line, and Matthew Stafford is not mobile anymore. He's an older guy. He's still a great quarterback, but if his line can't hold up, he just has no chance. He's going to be getting the ball out too quickly to pass downfield, and that's just not good for this offense as a whole. Their receivers, I know they're kind of sexy waiver wire pickups right now, but if this offense looks as bad as it did last week against a pretty bad defense in the Cardinals, I wouldn't have any trust starting any of those guys. Now, like in my opinion, Kyron Williams is about the only guy you can start on this team right now. I wouldn't start a receiver. Colby Parkinson, that experiment ended very quickly last week. I wouldn't start him. And I wouldn't start Matthew Stafford either. He, like I said, he's a good quarterback. But if he doesn't have time to throw the ball, if his protection falls through, he's not going to put up points for you on a weekly basis.
I pretty much agree with everything you said. I will say, I think Marvin Harrison is a sell high right now. I don't think he gets 30 points again. The next 2 weeks they play, I don't know who they play, but they play some pretty bad competition. So I'll probably do good the next 2 weeks. But their division is tough. It's just they play the Rams twice. They've already played them once, though. But other than that, there's not just an easy team out there. Seahawks are at least respectable. I just think Marv, great player. He's the reason you draft him so high. But I think if you can sell high on him now, you should sell high on him now, because I think he just hit his ceiling. Who knows when he'll average 14 a game. But if you can sell high, sell high. Trey McBride fell on a touchdown in the end zone. He's about the only tight end that's done good. He's about the only tight end that's done decent. And even then, like I said, if he doesn't fall on the touchdown, he scores 10 points. So Kyler Murray, glad I got him in almost all my leagues. Dude's a machine. And then on the Rams side of the ball, just quick, you're not starting anyone but Kyron. I'm really not agitated at Kyron, because ain't nothing he can do at this point. He'll probably get 10 a game. That's all you can expect with a bad Rams team. But they'll get the ball to Robinson and Tutu Atwell. They're not awful. I mean, these are NFL guys. They're not awful. But like you said, one of the left tackles is coming back off a suspension. So we'll see how that plays out. Other than that, if I didn't have Kyren Williams, I wouldn't be trading for him, but could be worse. There's some pretty bad running backs in the league, Chuba Hubbard, but it could be worse.
Could be the worse. Disrespect.
He had to worse. Throw that little jab in, huh? He doesn't deserve that.
I had him on the bench in one league, and he put up all of four.
Chuba Hubbard's just trying to do what he can do, okay?
Gus Edwards. I could go down the list right now.
Lord.
Rashad White right now after that week two. I mean, there's a bad
– Zamir White looks bad.
I'll stop the hate, Alexander Madison. But there's just some tough ones. But, yeah, pretty obvious you're starting all – you could start – Will. Who is it? Isn't it Michael Wilson for the Cardinals? Doesn't he play for them? Isn't that who it is?
Yeah. One of their second receivers.
You can honestly debate about starting him as well. If they're going to keep firing on all cylinders, you can go all in on it. But that's just my opinion. You start the stars and Rams, you're looking in trouble. If you got Puka and you're 0-2, you probably need to trade him. You probably need to send him off and hope that you can get something. Cooper Kupp didn't get placed on IR yet, so he'll probably be back week 3 weeks. We'll see how it goes. But yeah,
that could change.
It could change. I don't think it might, but we'll see. It depends if the Rams win a game. If they don't win, you better start training as fast as you can because they're going to tank. They're going to tank quick.
Well, boys, we got three more games. We'll make these kind of quick. We're almost at the one-hour mark. We're doing pretty good, honestly. But one of these games isn't that exciting. There's just a few things I wanted to point out. Commanders beat the Giants for Jaden Daniels' first win as a rookie by a field goal, but it's okay. Still was a win. Jaden Daniels looks really good. He was 23 for 29, 226 yards. He was efficient. I mean, he passed the ball. I just hate to see that Terry McLaurin is still not really getting the work. Zach Ertz had 4 receptions for 62 yards. He was the guy. And honestly, the running backs got a lot of work in the receiving game. Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler actually looked pretty decent. They both had above 10 fantasy points. So for two running backs to get that much, if one of them gets more of the workload, Avery's an Austin Eckler believer. And then on the other side, honestly, Devin Singletary is not a bad guy to have on your team. He's getting the work. He got a touchdown. He had, 14 fantasy points, I believe. And the big thing, though, Malik Nabers is a dog. That boy was – now, this is a bad secondary, bad defense. But Malik Nabers was ripping him to pieces. It was nice to see that this is why he was drafted where he was. Even though Daniel Jones is not the best quarterback, Malik Nabers showed out. So real quick, what do you guys think about the few pieces that are important on these two teams?
Go ahead.
I mean, you're right. I think Malik Nabers is kind of like Marvin Harrison. He'll have another good week, but teams are going to start treating him like the one now. You had to see it to believe it, kind of. You saw it, you believe it. He's about to start getting treated like the one. So he's not – 20 targets a game is unrealistic, but we'll see how it goes. If he can keep getting that, he'll do good, but I don't think he'll keep getting that. And then I am agitated Terry McLaurin's not getting the ball, but no one's getting the ball over there. No one's getting the ball because Jaden, he just can't pick his head up. But he's playing great. No arguments about which sim, so I agree.
Yeah, I would be ecstatic if you're either of the Washington running back owners. They both look good. Eckler's not going to have the rushing attempts, but he seems to be heavily involved in the passing attack, which that makes you feel good. I know you were on the Eckler train. I still dislike him. I was on the Robinson train. It looks like he's going to get most of the work. He's good. As far as the receivers go, you can't really touch any of them because they spread the ball out so much and they don't really throw it that deep. I mean, he's going to his first read most of the time, and that's why you see Zach Ertz getting a lot of this passing volume. Now, McLaurin did have a lot of targets this game, so maybe if they can gain a stronger rapport together, he might be a guy you can play later in the year. And then on the Giants side, Nabers, he really is that good. But I would caution you a little bit because this defense they played was awful, and he had 18 targets. So with that type of volume, he surely will produce weeks like this. Now, if they're ahead, Singletary is going to be a good play. If they're playing a bad team, I would play Singletary every week just because he's going to get the volume. But if they're playing a good team and are going to get blown out, I wouldn't even touch Singletary. But you're right. He is a talented player. It's just when you're on this bad of a team, they're going to pass the ball more than running. So I would stay away from them unless they play a bad team like they did this week.
Definitely look out for them. Look at their matchup, see who they're playing, and go off of that. Now, I believe, Matt, you had picked an upset here as a bold prediction on this game. Almost happened. Texans win 19-13 against the Bears. Caleb Williams doesn't look good, but it's their offensive line. They cannot block to save their life. I'm talking these guys are getting off the edge and just pressuring Caleb Williams. So I think that's a piece of why he's not looking as good. Now, it also is because I don't really know what's going on with the Bears. I want to hear what you guys have to think about Caleb Williams here in a sec. He led the team in carries. 5 carries, 44 yards. So I'd be worried about DeAndre Swift. I mean, that's a crowded backfield anyways. Crowded-er in the backfield. Khalil Herbert and all them. DJ Moore is clearly the number one guy. Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze are kind of banged up. I don't know if Keenan played this game. I don't believe he did. But I was surprised to see that Nico Collins is the number one guy. He's getting the work. Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs are just kind of decoys at times out there. But Nico Collins is the week-to-week 100% you're starting this guy. CJ Stroud still looks good. I'd be a little worried about Joe Mixon and be looking for Cam Akers out there with Joe Mixon's injury. Cam Akers could be relevant in this backfield with this good of a team. I'm telling you, he could. If Joe Mixon is out, be looking for Cam Akers. How do you guys feel about this?
It's the Damian Pierce show. They like. I don't know why they like him. I don't know what it is about him. But for some reason, that coach loves Damian Pierce. It's already been announced that he's going to be the guy, like the next one up. I don't know why it's Damian Pierce, but it's Damian Pierce, and I'm not picking him up. And if Cam Akers has a great week this week, you go pick him up. It's like you try to waiver wire him. But if he doesn't have a good week, you don't touch him again. I think you're going to sling the ball the whole time. Texans, no problem. I think Tank Dell, you were really upset if you got Tank Dell just because he looks like I'm going to be honest, he looks like the odd man out right now. We knew there had to be someone out of the game, out of the three, and he looks like the odd man out right now. Solely because Stephon Diggs is the red zone guy and Nico Collins is the guy. I mean, come on now. He's just a dog. Now, just want to bring up something was written on the board last week on a Friday episode. I don't know if we remember. If we had I didn't clip it, but if we had it clipped, it'd be getting played right now. Someone named Matt McDonald. You want to know what he said? He said, Caleb Williams, going to have 250 passing yards and 2 touchdowns. Do you want to know what his stats were for the week?
Give it to us.
Do you want to know what the stats were for the week? He threw the ball 23 times. He threw the ball 37 times. Had 23 completions. 170 yards. 0 touchdowns. And 2 picks. So, had a passer rating of 51, which is pathetic. Ooh. So, I'm just saying, Matt's a big board. Looks just as bad as my Josh Palmer had 15. So, we're equally awful at predicting stats. Just wanted to put that out there. I had that one written down because Matt said to write it down, Matt. Not trying to call you out, but that calling you out. Caleb Williams is bad. Don't think he's going to have a good year this year. I think he's a good quarterback. He'll be fine after this year once they get some offensive linemen on that team. But I'm not playing him. I'm not playing him. I'm not playing the receivers. I'm playing DJ. And even DJ Moore sucked. And if Caleb Williams can't throw him the ball, then you can't start him. And DeAndre Swift is off. That's just a fact. So I'm not starting any of the Bears. I'm starting Bears defense. They're good. And then I'm not starting Tank Dell on the other side. And I'm not starting Cam Akers or Damian Pierce this week. What do you think?
Okay.
Defend yourself, man.
This is obviously not the way I went this game or I saw this game going. Caleb Williams has all the talent in the world, but he really has to figure out. It's kind of like when Mahomes had to figure out to take the easy passes. He just has to figure that out because he took 7 sacks this game just because he wouldn't pass it to the open guy. And he has a lot of easy reads that he's just passing that up to try to make a big play. If he can figure out how to make the easy play, which then will create the big play, he'll be a good quarterback. It's tough when his offensive line is this bad. He tries to scramble like he did at USC, and it's just not going to work when you're playing NFL talent. So he's got to figure out how to take the easy pass, and then that'll lead to the explosive plays. Until he does that, you're right, I wouldn't play him either. But it's obviously not how I saw it going, but he'll get better. That's all I'm going to say. On the Texans side, Tank Dell did have a couple big plays. That one of them, he was out of bounds when he caught the ball. The other one, it was just kind of a miscue with CJ. So if he comes down with a couple of those big passes that they attempted to him, his weeks don't look as bad. But him and Stephon are going to be kind of guys that they're either hit or miss from week to week. Tank Dell could have a big play one week, and then the next week Stephon Diggs connects in the red zone with Stroud. So you're kind of playing with fire with those two guys. I would probably sit them until you see which one kind of emerges. And then Nico Collins, he's an automatic start. That dude looks electric. I mean, this Texans defense was good, and he just looked better. He's a big guy, and these corners just can't guard him. On the Joe Mixon side, they haven't officially said if he's going to miss the game or not. He really does look good, but with this, it was a hip drop tackle, which they're trying to eliminate from the game. It's just such a – it's not necessarily a dirty play, but it just leads to injuries so often. So he tried to come back and play, and then it was fine during the game because of adrenaline, and then after the game it swelled up. So he's an older guy, so you're going to have to watch that. If he's not active, like Avery said, it's probably Damian Pierce, which we all hate to see because he is just not – he's just not that good.
Yeah.
But he is coming off a hamstring injury. So if he doesn't get the full workload, Cam Akers, he looked good in the preseason. So you'll kind of just have to watch it. But honestly, they haven't said yet. Mixon might play. So you kind of need to watch. If Mixon doesn't play and you're a Mixon owner, you could probably pick up one of those guys and play him. But that's a nasty boy start. I wouldn't play either one of them.
Cam Akers, those spins looked crazy in the preseason.
That's all he does. Athletic. That's all he does. That's
all so he does. Expect him to be spinning out there for them Texans and Joe Mixon's out. We'll really quickly touch this last game. I really just kind of want to talk about the Falcons' last drive to win against the Eagles was crazy. Kirk Cousins is back. Okay. First game, a little bit of a fluke. The dude threw for 241 yards, two touchdowns, 20 completions of 29. Not a bad game from old Kirky boy. He did what he used to do. Now, Darnell Mooney didn't see that coming. I mean, it was really just big plays and a touchdown, but he did get some looks. And we seen Drake London's first touchdown of the season. So that was kind of nice to see in a guy that you're going to draft high. Bijan is going to continue to get you at least a few points, 10 bare minimum, every week. He's consistent. His ceiling is high. Somebody's about to be a Bijan owner, so we'll hear from that a little bit more often. Kind of interesting how that came about. But the Eagles, Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown's out. Devontae Smith performed with him being out. So it's nice to see that if you own Devontae Smith. I believe, Matt, I think you got him, don't you?
Well, me and Avery both have him.
Okay, so you guys both get to enjoy the love from those from this marriage of no A.J. Brown. So real quick, touch up on this game for me. Tell me what you guys think.
I was sorely disappointed with the coaching display from the Eagles. Yeah. I mean, all they had to do was run the ball, and then the Falcons would have had to drive the entire field in order to just tie the game. And they go for a pass, and Saquon, I mean, don't get me wrong, he was wide open. But why even attempt a pass when if that pass isn't completed, the clock's going to stop? It was a bad coaching performance from Sirianni. And I really think that the Eagles are just, they're on a bad path. The defense is just as bad as it was last year. It doesn't look good over there. Now, as far as a fantasy perspective, Jalen Hurts got back to the running form he was a couple years ago. So that's exciting if you're a Jalen Hurts owner. And then with A.J. Brown's going to miss this next week and then likely be back. So for this upcoming week, Devontae Smith is a smash start. And then Saquon's a smash start every week. He's going to get a huge workload, and he has good receiving game abilities as well, even though he dropped the game-winning pass in this game. But as far as the Falcons side goes, if Kirk Cousins is going to continue to play at the level he did this past game, Drake London looks like a way better draft pick than he did the first week. And Darnell Mooney could be like a flex option, but A lot of that came off one play, so I wouldn't be too excited about him. And Bijan, I know Avery's excited about him. He's going to get a lot of work in the receiving game, and then he's going to get 14 to 15 carries a game. So you're going to be excited about him on a weekly basis. He's such an explosive player. He's going to win you a lot of weeks. So you can't be more excited from a Bijan perspective.
Yeah. Let me put this out there. One, Drake London wouldn't have had a good game if it wasn't for the touchdown. So let's not act like Drake London just had himself a game. Also, I'm going to be quick because we're pressed up against time. Kirk Cousins did not look good till the final drive of the game. He just did not look good. They did not look good till the final drive when Eagles were in prevent, so that's how they had such big plays. And his other touchdown came off in Darnell Mooney breaking a tackle. It's just as simple as that. So it's just honestly, I didn't think Kirk looked great. I'm worried as a Kyle Pitts owner. Kind of worried. The tight ends have sucked this year, so I'm not as worried. If all tight ends were getting 20, I'd be worried. But if each tight end's getting 5, I'm not too worried. I got Bijan, so the podcast knows it's late, so most people aren't going to listen. But I got Bijan and Garrett. Garrett has sucked if you draft him high. I'm just picking him because I think Aaron Rodgers is going to give him the ball more. He said he needs to. That's the hope. Bijan's elite. I trade James Cook because he scored 30 and Marv scored 30. I mean, come on now. So trade
collusion.
So that's what I did. No collusion. I don't even live with or text the guy. But the Eagles-wise, it's just Devontae Smith was fun. Matt needed 60 from Devontae Smith and Saquon. And there was a little part of me that thought they could maybe get it in the half PPR. But they came close. They got 40. They just didn't get 60. It would have took a miracle. So Devontae Smith's great. Saquon, you're playing every week. Jalen Hurts is fine. So – You're not stressed about the Eagles. I did want to point out before we left today, just want to say our pick'ems from last week. Just wanted to give the pick'em numbers. How good or bad do you think y'all did? Give me a number out of 16, what y'all think y'all got.
I know what mine is, sadly. It's 11. So, right?
And Matt, what do you think you got?
Oh, wait. I thought you meant in total. Enough. You meant just from last week.
Enough.
I'm gonna say I got 8 right.
I was the highest with 8.
Mm.
Alex 6. Was the second with 7. Matt was the lowest with 6.
Cheeks.
That puts the total for the year, me at 18. Matt, we're giving him 1 because he would have picked the Bills against the Miami Dolphins. We're giving him 17, and Alex is 15. So, just saying, this week was not a good week.
Bad showing for the boys.
Not a good week for the boys.
Well, you don't expect Malik Willis to throw 14 passes and then win. I almost got the Patriots over the Seahawks. That took an overtime game, but.
You almost got them.
Football is just weird this year, and I want it to change. I want it to be different, but thank you guys. Go ahead.
You're being dramatic. You're being really dramatic.
I'm not, dude. I'm over. It's a rough 2 weeks. Okay, maybe not as a Steelers or Chiefs fan, but rough 2 weeks.
2-0,
baby. Yeah. AFC North.
Hey, mention YouTube.
Oh yeah. So we now have a YouTube channel, and you know what? If you're listening an hour and 12 in, I know you'll subscribe. If you're that dedicated on episode 12 that you're willing to listen this far, I know you're gonna subscribe to our YouTube channel. And that means if we can get 50 subscribers, you'll be able to see 3 new beautiful faces on YouTube consistently. And I know you want that to change your life. I know you need that. So please subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's just Takeology Sports. Check us out. Find us out there. And you know what? If you can't find it, email us at takeologyfootball@outlook.com and we will make sure you get there. And you know what? Even if you don't listen this far, at least skip to the end. Come on. At least just drag it all the way across so you can hear us end this thing out. Because we always have the sick beats at the end. Honestly, they always come out hot. If not, it doesn't even matter. You don't listen. So if you're listening, please find us on YouTube so we can change the game. You know, we might be famous. You know, we might hit it big. Who knows? I doubt it. But the boys are in the lab. So
In the lab
cooking. So you guys can do the cooking. But, yeah. So it's a little crowded in here, but I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. We'll catch you again on Friday. Thank you so much for joining Takeology. Spread the word and spread some love out there. Be blessed.
Couldn't have started the beat sooner, Alex.
You know what? You know what? We're not even going to do the beat today. That it didn't work. Have a blessed. Have a.